You're listening to the Random Phantom, starring Flick and Flick.
It's about to get heavy! Kaboom, baby!
Heavy over here.
Random Phantom.
Let's rock!
Starring Flick and Flick.
To the Random Fandom. It's been a few days. We're a little behind schedule, but that doesn't mean we're going away. No. I had a little family thing going on, so it was my fault. Don't blame Slick. So, speaking of Slick, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. How was your holiday weekend?
It was too short. It went by too quick, but we're almost on the new weekend, so I can't complain too much.
That's true.
It was good. I mean, my brother, like, cooked out on 4th of July, so went over there and did that with them, and spent most of the rest of the weekend talking to Stu, so it was all good.
That's all good, yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you do anything else before that, since we've it's been about 12 days since we've recorded, so...
I'm trying to think.
Did you read anything? Did you go see anything?
Let me see. I know I got... Stu got me, so I don't actually have it yet, but when he sends me, like, the next box he sends me, he went to Newcastle, like, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, and he got me an animated Wreck-Gar.
Oh!
I know! I was so excited! I was like, oh! So I actually have an animated Wreck-Gar.
That's
so
awesome! I actually gave mine away, and I'm like,
You fool!
I know.
He got me the other day the new issue of Doctor Who magazine, which has Nicholas Courtney on the cover, and the whole issue is, like, dedicated to him, the Brigadier.
Oh, that is cool.
So he got me that. And they're going to do the same thing with that magazine. There's going to be an issue later this year where the whole thing's dedicated to Liz Sladen. So I'm going to hopefully get me that one, too. But so that was very cool. I think I've seen stuff since the last one. I haven't seen Dark of the Moon. I think I'm the only person on the planet. But I watched The Expendables not too long ago with Stu. That was okay.
See, I did not care for it as much as other people liked it.
I didn't. Love it. It was fun watching it with Stu, and he really digs it, but that's a whole lot of Stallone, and I never liked Stallone. I can't stand to even look at his face, so I'm like...
It was just... It was too much of everyone trying to get on-screen time. When you have too many stars like that, it's too much. You know,
I was surprised, that, you know, like, Bruce Willis and Schwarzenegger, it's really just cameos of those mm-hmm. two. And they really made it seem like they were in the movie, like, properly. And I was kind of surprised about that.
Well,
but
Schwarzenegger was doing the whole governor thing at the time, so... Mm. Governor and his housemaid, whatever.
I don't know if it's been... Did I mention watching the Crank movies in the last episode?
I don't think you did. I remember you talking to me about it, but...
Yeah, because I have seen the... There's only two, right? Yeah, two mm-hmm. Crank movies.
So I've only seen two, so
I watched them, like, one right after the other, and I was just like, when it got to the sort of Godzilla fighting scene in the second one, and if you guys haven't seen it, I'm not really spoiling anything, but it took ridiculous to a whole new stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Although I thoroughly enjoyed both films, I would highly recommend them. Don't expect. I just think they're a lot of fun. They're hilariously sort of silly and over the top. So. And a lot of people don't like Jason Statham, but I like him.
I love Jason Statham.
I think he's great.
Yes, I like him.
I enjoyed those. I think...
He's handsome Rob, you know, man.
The only other thing I can think of that when I ran out of Mysterious Universe podcasts to listen to, Nicole has gotten fully addicted to this podcast. I did run out the other day, and you sent some more. Thank you very much for that. I needed something to listen to at work, so I was like, oh, and I was literally laying in bed, like, I think it was like 11 o'clock at night, and I'm like, oh, I know what I'll do, because I could listen to music all day at work, but for some strange reason, as much as I love music, I want to listen to other stuff, I want to listen to podcasts or audio, and I got Stephen King's Bag of Bones audiobook, and it's actually Stephen King reading it.
Oh, I didn't get that one.
I've listened to I think I'm on like the fourth chapter or something. It's freaking awesome. It's one of my very favorite Stephen King books, and it's been long enough since I've read it that I kind of remember the gist of it, but I don't remember the details.
That's one I need to reread.
Yeah, I would highly recommend getting this audiobook because he's so good at reading it, and it's like I said, I'm only like four chapters in out of like 44, but it's really good so far.
Jeez, that's one that I read a few years ago, and I can remember bits and pieces, but I can't remember the gist.
I guess it's probably been like more than 10 years since I've read it, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, actually, I don't even know when it came out, but it's been a while, so. But what about you, Nicole? What you been up to?
I've just been doing family stuff. I've had about 30 different people in my house in the past week. It's just extended family coming here for the holiday, you know, our celebration from the victory over the Brits, you know.
Who was saying they celebrated because they got rid of us?
Yeah, I'm just like, that's fun. No, so we just had a lot of my extended family live within 3 hours of us, and so they came down. We just partied it up all week, so.
Yeah, it sounded like you had a house full.
Yeah, it was fun though. My family is awesome. That's every cool. single one of them, they're awesome. So basically, and then I did see Transformers twice, thanks to a couple friends. So and finding money in my couch cushion.
Yeah, it's like, can somebody hook me up?
I found enough change when I went and saw it the first time to go to the cheap theater on a matinee. So
you found enough change to pay for a movie. I don't see how that's possible. How much was it?
We have a cheap little theater here. It was only $6.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Only six. Jesus, that still seems ridiculous to me. Well, Adam from the Old Oil House, he actually said to me last night he wanted to PayPal me money to go see Dark of the Moon, which, and I know he meant it. It was like the sweetest thing. I really appreciate that, Adam, just so you know. Because unfortunately, I'd be too poor to go see it. So.
Oh, and speaking of Adam, we've got to give him a great big hug and thank you for our opening. Our awesome opening now. We have an official.
We have a theme song now.
Yeah, that's awesome. He did a great job. So that's all Adam's doing. Thank you so much.
Yes, it was all Adam of the Oil House.
He tweeted me what he did. He's like, I'm bored. Do you guys want an opening
theme song? Here, yeah, he sent me a DM. He's like, I'm bored. And I was like, yes.
Sure, if you want to, that'd be great.
Yeah, I think he said, have you guys ever thought about having a theme song? And I was like, well, we thought about it, but neither of us had the talent to do it. So we were going, like, or didn't know how. I wouldn't have a clue.
No, I wouldn't have a clue either. But thanks to Adam being... Yes.
We rock now.
You know, totally awesome. Mm-hmm. So, besides that, that's all I've been doing. So I guess... For 2 weeks, yeah. And I've been uploading Mysterious Universe podcasts for people to listen to.
I've been downloading them. And one thing I have decided, though, I am going to start reading Secret Six. I got to get that, so.
Ooh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. That is a good comic book. Yeah, too bad it's ending.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're getting into it just as it ends.
Well, you know, everybody's talking about it. Adam, again, you know, really loved it and been raving about it. And then Stu has just read some of it and loved it immediately. So
you're going to fall in love with Ragdoll.
Oh.
I know Ragdoll's going to be your man.
Okay, we'll see.
I guarantee it.
No, Stu's my man.
Well, I know that, but in the comic book.
Oh, it was so awesome. I have to say this. I was so annoyed. Like, I have, like, maybe 100 channels. I don't pay attention to most of them because I have basic cable. I was at my brother's house on 4th of July, and they have got hundreds of channels with, like, that Fios shit from Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm flipping through the channels, and, like, I see one channel. It must have been the Hub because they were showing like Prime and Renegades. I think they were doing like a marathon of them.
Oh yeah, that was the Hub.
And came across another channel that was doing a marathon of Wolverine and the X-Men. I'm like, son of a bitch. And then found a Discovery Science channel or something that was doing a marathon of Firefly. And I was like, ah, we're watching this.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, damn it, that was some good stuff.
Oh, I do love Firefly. When we did our show on Firefly, I just got my box set out and watched it completely.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
Loved it. Yep.
All right, shall we get on with news?
Sure.
All right, we'll go ahead and see what's happening at the box office.
I can guess.
This past weekend, if you weren't one of the few millions of people that went to see Dark of the Moon, Transformers Dark of the Moon, like Slick, well, guess what? Dark of the Moon has doubled its production value. As of today, it's made like $480 million, and it costs $195 to make. So, wow.
That's more than double.
Yeah. So
that's worldwide?
Yes, that was worldwide. Mm-hmm. And so coming in second place was Cars 2 with $31 million. So the second place was definitely a big separation gap there. Number three was Bad Teacher. I'm surprised it's doesn't look like my kind of show, but that's going to be like one of the shows that me and my girlfriends go to at the Dollar Show. We sit there and make fun of.
Well, see, sadly, Jason Segel's in it.
I know, I like
fucking love. And then he's with Cameron Diaz, who I fucking hate.
I know. Like,
God. Does my love for him outweigh my hatred of her?
I know. Like I said, dollar movie. So, number
four. Like, I've been thinking about watching Season of the Witch. It's like, does my hatred of Nicolas Cage outweigh my love for Ron Perlman? Or the other way around?
I haven't. Somebody else, if you have seen this movie, you need to tell me about it because I refuse to see it without.
Oh, really?
I personally know that says watch it.
Well, you know Dom, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Dom, I know he tweeted something like, you know all the action you see in the trailer for the Season of the Witch? It's all in the first 5 minutes of the film, and then it's slow. So I'm like,
okay.
So I'm curious. I'm still kind of curious about it, but we'll see.
We'll see, yeah. If you watch it, I'll watch it after you. After Okay, number four was Larry Crown. That's the new Julia Roberts, Tom Hanks movie. Sad to say, came in number four at its premiere week with two huge names, A-listers there. Number five was Super 8. Number six was the teen comedy Monte Carlo. Number seven was Green Lantern, which dropped down from third place. Number eight was Mr. Popper's Penguins. Still haven't seen that. I want to, though. Number nine was Midnight in Paris, which I found out is the new Woody Allen film.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I erased it from my mind. I don't care for Woody Allen, personally.
I can't stand Woody Allen.
Ugh, he's so far up his own ass. Anyways.
And his movies suck, too.
I don't get it. I had to watch so many of his freaking movies for my film classes, and I'm like, ugh. I had to watch Annie Hall half a dozen times in those film classes. I'm like, I'm sick of Annie Hall. So, and rounding out your top 10 was Bridesmaids, which actually came out to be the number one R-rated female comedy of all time. So, this past week.
Wow, could they put more caveats on that?
Exactly.
What niche can we find for this to say it's the number one of all time? That's why it always kills me when they'll say.
Well, see,
it's the number one comedy at the box office. Yeah, but it's number 10 in the
exactly.
In the list. It just means the first nine are not comedies, so you can technically say it's the number one comedy. It's like, whatever.
So any surprises with this list?
Not really. You knew Transformers would gonna do what it did. So
the only thing I'm surprised at is X-Men First Class isn't in the top 10, being a holiday weekend. I thought a lot of people, if they didn't want to go see Transformers for action flick, they would have gone and seen X-Men.
But hasn't that been out for a little while already?
It's been out for let's see, 6 weeks. Yeah, so I guess
That's
for 5 weeks.
6 weeks. That's beyond it. That's beyond.
I still think you know. I thought a lot of people would probably go see it. I liked X-Men. That was a good one. So
it's two films. When you get beyond the third week of their being out now, it's like a lot of people don't go see a film.
So many big films are coming out too. So
I mean, I remember. It's a classic line you say when you're an old fart, but I'm going to say it anyway. When I was a kid, I remember seeing, I saw Empire Strikes Back when I was nine, like 26 times at the cinema. Mm-hmm. So you think if I was only going once a week, which I know I definitely saw more than once in a weekend at the time. But if you think if I went once a week, that's half a year.
Yeah.
I mean, movies used to be out for, but then again, we didn't get them on DVD 3 months later, so.
That's true. I mean, it took forever to get them out on video back in the day. Mm-hmm. So
even though I remember the average was for a film to go from the cinema to HBO was a year, except yeah. The Star Wars films took 3 years. It was like, oh.
Yeah. I think E.T. didn't even come out for, like, what was it, 8 years?
That was a long time, yeah.
Yeah, it was like 8 years for E.T. to come out on video, so.
I hate E.T.
I like E.T. I
fucking hate that movie. I saw it once at the cinema when I was 12. I started crying in the middle of it. Didn't stop until the drive home. And
oh.
Again.
What made you cry?
What didn't make me fucking cry? You've seen the fucking movie. Jesus Christ. It's like everything in that fucking movie makes you bawl. Oh, I hated it. I've never seen it since. I remember my brother was like cracking jokes trying to make me laugh, and I thought he was making fun of me, so it just made me cry harder.
Oh! I liked E.T. I still have my little stuffed animal of him.
I had a stuffed E.T., but I didn't mind him so much, but I hate that movie. Oh, good lord.
Well, coming out this week, the two big ones coming out this week are Horrible Bosses and The Zookeeper.
Both look terrible.
I'm predicting Transformers is going to take number one again with these.
Yeah.
Every time I see the trailer to Zookeeper, I'm like, please, Hollywood, if there's one thing you need to stop, it's with the live-action talking animals.
That's Sandler, man.
Cringe. It just makes me cringe every time.
Well, Sandler keeps letting Kevin Smith or Kevin James be fucking leads in movies, and I'm sorry, he's not a good lead.
No.
You can't carry a film, I'm sorry. Did you see Paul Blart Mall Cop or whatever the hell that was?
That was I did see it, unfortunately.
I did too. It was an abomination, but
it should have been a 4-minute Saturday Night Live skit.
Yeah, really. That would have been still probably wouldn't have been funny, but yeah. I mean, wasn't so bad in the Chuck and Larry movie where he's with Sandler, but I'm sorry, he just can't carry a film.
Yeah, and
even big square head.
No, I predict Transformers will probably take number one again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But if you don't want to go out on to the cinema, I actually said cinema this time. Did you notice that?
You know, before you say that, the interesting thing will be in not this coming weekend, but the weekend after, because that'll be the Harry Potter
weekend. Yeah, that's big old Harry Potter
weekend. With Potter and Dark of the Moon.
Yeah, we'll see how big of a drop Transformers take. Because I know tons of people that have had their Harry Potter tickets for, like, 6 weeks now.
I'm thinking Dark of the Moon's still going to be number two.
Oh, yeah. I think it would be kind of be like what Cars 2 and Dark of the Moon was. It'd still be number two, but there's going to be a huge gap.
Mm-hmm.
So, but out on DVD, we have 13 Assassins and Hobo with a Shotgun, which I remember we didn't talk about it not that long ago coming out in the theater. But it was an independent film.
Was that the one that you just said you wanted to see because of the title?
Uh-huh.
Jesus.
Guess what? I'll be renting this.
13 Assassins.
I don't remember 13 Assassins.
I don't either.
So, and on Blu-ray is Das Boot, which is a really good film.
We had a station wagon when I was growing up. My brother and I called it that.
Das Boot.
Because the thing was big like a boat. It's a big-ass 79 Caprice Classic. That thing was huge.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I remember back
the car my brother learned to drive in.
I remember learning one of the cars when I was, like, 8 years old how to drive was a huge Lincoln Town car. That was a big old boat, too.
Yeah. Cars were massive.
Just, like, you had to take up two parking spots just to park it. You know, the hood was as long as the cars are today.
Yep. It was like three smart cars.
Yeah. Well, in movie news, because Hollywood can't get enough of sequels, even though we thought it was dead, Toy Story 4 will be happening. Now, did you see Toy Story 3?
I only saw the first one and didn't like it, so.
Okay.
No, but I know the whole, oh my god, bit of Toy Story 3.
Well, Toy Story 3, it was a good ending to the franchise. But because it's a moneymaker, Pixar decides, hey, why not do another one? There will be a Toy Story 4. I'm just like, what are they going to do? These characters, they just back off. Do something creative. Stop with the sequels. Trilogy is good.
Okay, I'm going to say this right now, people, that there's going to be a spoiler in what I'm about to say for Toy Story 3, okay?
Okay.
You have been warned. They should have just killed him off.
They all should have got to their burning death.
Sure, because now we wouldn't have a Toy Story 4. Actually, they'd probably find a way.
Yeah.
Toy Story 4, the ghost story. Oh, God.
Oh, God. No, I just think this is ridiculous. Toy Story 3 was a good, solid ending. Now they're just going to continue it.
And probably ruin it.
Probably. So. Mm-hmm. But both Tom Hanks and Tim Allen have agreed to come back for it.
Of course they have.
Because it's a simple moneymaker for him. So. Mm-hmm. Okay, our next bit of news. Paul, you might want to close
your eyes. Yeah, I was going to say, Paul's head explodes.
We have come up with information on the reboot of The Crow. The writer will be, see if I could say his name right. The director is going to be Alan Moore. The writer is going to be Alex Tess. Is that how you say his name? He's the one that did 28 Weeks Later. And the star is going to be Bradley Cooper, which I know Slick hates, but I love.
Oh, Alex Say.
Say.
Okay.
Yeah. I say it.
I can see her say.
Yeah.
Zack Snyder is going to... Wait a minute.
Yeah, he is going to be a part of it as well.
Is he directing?
He's going to be pretty much a producer. He was going to be. He was supposed to be the one that was supposed to be directing, but they actually decided to go with Alan Moore. So. Mm. But this is actually going to be starting up, and we'll be seeing it here shortly. So,
yeah, Bradley Cooper, I don't dislike him, but he doesn't do anything for me. But I enjoyed him in like the Hangover. Well, the first Hangover movie. I haven't seen the second one, but and he was pretty good as Face. In the 18 movies, but I just can't see him as, you know, Eric Draven. So.
I would like to see, this would be kind of interesting to see him take on a different role besides, you know, the comic. Because, well, I saw Limitless, and he did a very good dramatic role there, too. But that was more action flicks. To actually see him take on more of a dramatic role,
mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting. So.
Yeah. And if only, you know, to be, you know, one of those few things that makes Paul absolutely explode with rage. Like, there's only two things that I know. Paul's so sweet. There's only two things I know of that absolutely set him off. If you mention Picnic at Hanging Rock, which he really is like the worst movie ever for him, and that's saying something. Or if you mention Adric, one of the companions from Doctor Who. So, actually, a Neon Toys make him go nuts.
Oh, yes. But I like Neon.
So he's too. Now... His head's fully exploded. So.
Paul, you can pick yourself up now. Mm-hmm. On to actually talking about Transformers Dark of the Moon. Michael Bay has figured out how to recycle his own footage. He actually took some footage from his older film called The Island, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It did not. The Island didn't do well. I'm one of the few people that actually saw it.
I don't know. I know quite a few people that have seen
it. Yeah. It didn't... In our little group. The thing is, he's figured, well, not a lot of people saw it, so I'm going to be using some footage from it put in Transformers. Honestly, I did not know about this until I read the article, and I'm like, oh, wow, he really did. But you know what? A lot of people are giving him slack about it. I'm like, hey, you know what? In this time when everything's green, we all have to recycle, right? So Bay's just doing his part by recycling his movies. So if you want to go on and check out the comparison, that was actually kind of cool. When they have the two comparisons on.
Yeah, I saw it on something the other day, but I couldn't tell you what. Yeah. It's kind of weird.
So do you care if he recycles his footage?
I don't give a shit. I don't expect much from that man, to tell you the truth. So.
Hey, if it's
I would rather he could recycle all he wanted if he actually got some bitches in his films that could act.
Hey, that's a good idea.
A bag of fucking hangers. I don't know.
A Hackamaker. I love that name.
Mm-hmm. Bag of Hangers.
And talking about being disposed of.
Whatever. She's dating Jason Statham now, weirdly.
Yeah, I heard that, so. Lucky girl.
God, no. Oh, you think he's hot? No.
I like Jason Statham. I do.
I like him. I like watching him in films, but I don't think he's particularly hot. But
there's just something about him.
You know what's funny is, like, every time I think of him, I always think of fucking, like, years ago, like, it was Comic-Con of 06, because Hot Fuzz came out in 07, and it was, but it was 06, it was the summer before it came out. They had just finished shooting Hot Fuzz, and Nick Frost and Edgar Wright were at Comic-Con, and they did this really, they did a shit ton of interviews that weekend, but there was one in particular that was on some website at the time. I couldn't even tell you what it is now, but it was this like four-part interview with the two of them that was awesome. It was one of the best interviews I've ever seen. But in it, they end up talking about Statham, and they said, they were talking about like how ripped he is and shit, and there's like, one of them said something like, even his knob has abs, you know? And he's got knob abs, and then they go, he's got nabs.
So
ever since then, every time I think of him, I always go, he's got nabs in my head. So you guys can find that interview, watch it. It's fucking hilarious.
Oh, I gotta go check that one out.
Yeah, I should see if I could find a link and give it to you. Oh, it's good.
Oh,
anyway.
Call. I'd like. Anyways, talking about like disposed people. Adrienne Pilecki, she was the gal that was selected to be Wonder Woman that has been canceled. Well, she's actually moved on already, and she is going to be in the new G.I. Joe Cobra Strikes movie. That's the
Lady J.
She's going to be my all-time favorite character in the G.I. Joe series.
Lady J's your all-time favorite Joker?
I love Lady J. I love her. She kicked ass back in the 80s. I remember when...
What do you think of her in the Renegade stuff?
I don't like her in Renegades. She's a
you
desk jockey.
You hardly see her in Flint, though.
Yeah, she's a desk jockey, and I'm like, she did so much in the G1 cartoons. I remember when I used to play G.I. Joes with my friends, I always had to be Lady J. Always had to be her, because she just, you know, she was awesome.
You played games with your friends. What a dude.
Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, you don't know that was like 2 weeks ago.
But no, yeah, it's funny. Like Flint and Lady J have, they are quite different in Renegades than they were in the.
Yeah, I don't like her in Renegades. I know she's going to have an important part by the end of the series, but I liked her in G1. I loved Lady J in G1. She was awesome.
There's a person on the telly right now. I can't tell if it's a man or a woman.
Oh!
I think it's a chick. I think.
When in doubt, guess a woman.
I think I saw boobs. Anyway, there might have been a couple of lumps under her flannel shirt over her t-shirt. Anyway.
She's distracted by the banshee.
Banshee like a banshee. So anyway,
and talking about man and she's or pretty much calling out anyone. Our last piece of movie news is if you want to be in a movie, Sam Raimi is looking for some extras. He's doing a prequel to Wizard of Oz, and they're needing clowns. Okay, when I first read this, my clowns. But it's Sam Raimi, so I trust him a little bit. They are looking for trained clowns at the age of 18 or older. They will be getting paid roles. So if you are interested, or if you know someone who has been a professional clown or has some clown-like abilities in acting, you could send your clown makeup. You need to send in your picture with your clown makeup and your other picture to ozextras@yahoo.com. And I'll put this link on the website, because I know some people that would, if I've always wanted to be in a movie, here's your chance to be a paid extra. So
Raimi doing a prequel to
I've heard about this going on for a couple years now. It's finally getting into, rumor has it that this is the same one. Dorothy was supposed to be Anne Hathaway, but then they were talking about here it might be Mila Kunis. So. We'll see. We'll see. Mm-hmm. So that is all I have for our movie news. What we got in our horror?
The first one I have, this just seemed very trippy, so I thought I would mention it. But Trinity announced today, well, not today, this is slightly old news, I'm sorry. they've acquired UK rights to Adam Raymire's highly controversial film, The Bunny Game, and they're releasing it through their home entertainment label, Trinity X Home Entertainment, read DVD, straight to DVD. But it's supposed to come out early next year, and it says this film will blow your mind. I like to call it hyper horror. It's yet to be certified in the UK, but it's been described as taking psychological and physical terror to new extremes. It says it centers around a drug-addicted prostitute, Bunny, played by Rodlaine Getzick. I've never heard of her. Who is kidnapped by a truck driver, Jeff Renfro, and subjected to a harrowing series of sadistic and torturous games. And the picture alone was enough for me to use it because it's just really fucked up. But
that's crazy mask.
Yeah, it's like a weird bunny mask, and she's tied up. It just sounds like it's going to be one of those. It's a horror film in a very sort of in a realistic way, like you know, like Devil's Rejects or Last House on the Left. It's not like a fantastical horror film by any stretch, it seems. It also said Mark Sandell, who's co-director of Trinity Films, said, although The Bunny Game is acquired viewing and deals with disturbing issues, it fits the Trinity X brand perfectly in that it is distinctive and independent filmmaking at its best with strong performances and a highly original filmic eye. Mm-hmm. So if that's true, then...
I kind of like the movie poster. I like that movie. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, I did too. I thought that was kind of cool. I thought the artwork was pretty neat on that. So, and you guys will see that in the show notes. But and there's a clip from it too. There's a teaser trailer. So, yeah, if you like really, it looks like it's going to be pretty weird horror. But yeah, so look for that in early 2012. The Bunny Game.
Yeah,
bunnies.
It's got chicken legs.
This just made me think of Oh, God. Cheese from Foster's.
Foster's Home for Imaginary.
Yes. Oh, my God. Cheese makes me laugh. I weep with laughter over cheese.
But cheese, he needs to have his own spinoff.
Yeah. My niece, when she was little, and I used to just say, it's got bodies. You know, like he's, you know, we used to quote him. Anyway, I'm really going off on tangents tonight.
I could talk about a whole hour about cheese.
Maybe we should do a show on Foster's.
That's awesome.
We
need
a show on Powerpuff Girls is what we need to do a damn show on. I thought about that the other day. Anyway, the next thing I have is, Prometheus, the prequel, the Alien prequel. Thought this was interesting. Damon Lindelof is the screenwriter, and he's also behind Lost. Don't hold that against him. Damon Lindelof. I think I said his name, Lindelost. Anyway, he's the demon behind Lost, they said. But he was on Kevin Pollak's chat show recently, and he was talking about his prequel to Alien. He said, it started as an Alien prequel. That's what everybody wanted it to be. And obviously, Ridley Scott hasn't made a science fiction movie in like 25 years. So returning to the genre is huge, but he said, but there's a real issue, which is what is the state of the Alien franchise at this point in our lives, which is a fair point. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing that he basically, I think the point that he said was basically a true prequel should essentially, he says, should essentially precede the events of the original film, but be about something entirely different, feature different characters, have an entirely different theme, although it takes place in the same world. That was my fundamental feeling about what this movie wanted to be. That's what he said, which I thought was cool because it kind of takes away the element of them basically fucking up the franchise, mm-hmm. for lack of a better way to put it. So I'm thinking what they're going to do. He said from based on what he said, that it sounds like they're going to, it's going to be in the same world, but we're going to have totally different characters. I would assume they're going to find ways to link it, obviously. Mm-hmm. Even if the only link, I guess, is maybe the creatures themselves. But
if that's that's pretty much a good link right there to me.
Exactly. It's a strong enough link, I think. And if he were able to slip in little sort of subtle things that fans would get, yeah. I love to do that. Little nudges and winks to the fans, you know. This just gave me a little more hope about this prequel because I was not thrilled about the idea to begin with. But if they pull it off, it could be really cool. So
see, because I'm glad they're not like redoing Ridley.
See, that was my biggest Ripley. Thing.
I was looking at Ridley.
That's Scott Ridley or Ridley yeah. Scott.
Yeah. Ripley. Yeah.
I thought about that. Their names are so close. I wonder if that, there's a reason for that. But yeah, the fact that Ripley won't be in it, they're not going to have some younger actress try and play Ripley.
And I'm so glad for that.
Yeah, exactly. Grateful forever for that. So that could be quite cool. So here's hoping that turns out cool. Yeah. We'll see.
Because I can't see anyone else playing Ripley besides...
No. There's certain
that
things...
That is hers.
We should never have to see anybody play Ash other than Bruce Campbell.
Exactly, so. Yeah.
The last bit, this is about Kevin Smith's Red State, his horror film. And this is mainly this article is showing that what we already know, but it's just really illustrating very well, I think, how much of an asshat Kevin Smith has become. He's real. I just disgusts me because I loved this man for so long and loved his film. He's just really just completely become a dick.
He's one of these people that needs to go away for about 5-10 years and then try to come back.
Yeah, he just needs to completely go away for a while. Absolutely.
Kind of like what Britney Spears did.
Well, she came back, though. That was the problem. Anyway, he did like a national Red State ripoff tour, as they're calling it on this website, because he went around and previewed the film Red State at cinemas, but he was apparently charging his closest, most devoted fans a whopping $80 to see this. Which I cannot...
What?
I'm sorry, but that's...
I'm sorry. No film is that good.
No shit. Even if, you know, he is there doing Q&A. I mean, I saw The Man with the Screaming Brain with, you know, and met Bruce Campbell, and he did a whole Q&A, and it was a whole evening with him, and it was free. Well... No, it was, I think, maybe $10.
That's worth it right there.
I know, right? Anyway, he has now announced that after doing this, that it's going to be released, it's a political horror film, as they're calling it, on VOD, which is, I believe, is Video On Demand. It's going to be, that'll be out on, like that, on Labor Day, which is Monday, September 5th, and then... it'll be released on Blu-ray and DVD at a later date following a limited theatrical run. So there's still supposed to be a theatrical run on this after it's on Video On Demand, which I just think is weird. But he said, if you didn't join us during our first theatrical run, you can catch Red State on VOD this Labor Day. And less than a month later in October, you can see Red State in a movie theater, immediately followed by a rollicking, no-holds-barred, live-streamed, interactive Q&A. And when the Q&A is done, we wrap this unique theatrical experience with a performance of Hollywood Babylon, featuring me and Red State co-star Ralph Garman. Three big shows for one insanely low price, under $20. Well, gee, now it's a bargain after you charge people $80 to see the pre.
I wonder if this is going to be like one of those Fathom events where it's going to be you can only see it within like 3 days, and the tickets are bigger price.
It might be. Who knows? I wouldn't doubt it with him. I mean, just that paragraph I just quoted alone just makes him sound like a douche. I'm surprised though. There's some good talent in this film. It's got Melissa Leo, who just won an Oscar for. She won a Best Supporting Actress Oscar this year for playing... She was Christian Bale's mom in that... What was that boxing movie? I can't even think of the name of it. But anyway, she won an Oscar earlier this year. And I remember seeing her in 21 Grams with Benicio Del Toro. She played his wife.
I know who you're talking about now.
She's a fantastic actress. So she's in it. Dermot Mulroney. Michael Angarano, who I remember from Sky High and... What was that? the Boys of Dogtown, or
oh, the Lords of Dogtown.
Lords of Dogtown. That's right. Yeah, I couldn't remember. Steven Root, who I love, he voices Bill Dotrieve on King of the Hill, and he's in Ball. I love him. And Michael Parks, who I fucking love, and John Goodman, who I fucking love. So he's got great people in this. And again, the gist of it was, it says it unfolds in a small town dominated by a fundamental preacher, and it tells the story of three high school boys who, on their way to an internet-arranged meeting with a woman, and they cross paths with this preacher, and the encounter sets into motion a series of events that causes all hell to break loose. So I'm still kind of intrigued by what Smith will come up with as far as a horror film goes. And I think the premise is unique, which is cool. But honestly, I'm not expecting much out of anything he does anymore. So
nope, like I said, he needs to go away and try to reinvent himself a few years down the road.
He seriously needs to stop being... He used to... I mean, he has become what he used to talk shit about.
Oh, I know.
You know, I mean, if you told him, like, back, like, when he was doing Mallrats and Dogma, around that time, that he was going to be like this in so many years, he probably would have broken his heart. Oh, well. So, that's all I got in the horror films.
Well, we have one memorial to talk about since we did our podcast last. Columbo star Peter Falk died at age 83. Now, did you ever watch Columbo?
You know what's funny is I've never seen it.
Oh, really? I loved Columbo.
Everybody I know loved it. I think my mom used to love it, but it's a good chance I've seen it when I was younger. I just don't remember, but yeah, it's not what I remember, but.
Well, did you ever watch Princess Bride? He played the grandfather in Princess Bride.
Yeah,
I've seen that. Princess Bride.
I actually just watched that not too long ago with Stu. That's what just within a week of him passing, so I was like, oh.
Yeah, I watched it when I heard. I'm like, I gotta go watch Princess Bride. It's a false story. Yeah, he looks like one of those people that just be totally lovable off screen. Again, he's one of these celebrities that you never really heard anything bad about in the tabloids, or at least I don't remember, you know.
No, he was always one that like you pretty much only ever heard great things about, so.
Yeah, at 83, he still looked pretty good for 83-year-old if that's a current picture. So, go watch Princess Bride, everyone.
Go watch anything he's ever done.
Yeah, Columbo was real. You should go watch a couple of Columbo. He's just fun. He's just a fun detective. And sorry to say, but in our TV news, because it is the summer, there's hardly any TV news. Everything is like in reruns. So I apologize for the lack of TV news. Jeff Probst, if you guys don't know him, he is the creator of Survivor, another stupid reality shows. Well, he decides he is going to be going for his own TV talk show. He actually turned down being a... he was talking about him replacing Regis. And so he actually turned that down, and he's actually going to be doing his own TV show. So you can look for that, as well as many of his other thousands of projects that he's making money off of coming back in the fall. So... Yay, I wish I had just a fraction of his money.
Yeah, I would use it to get rid of him. No, I seriously, oh God, what a douchebag.
You know,
that was another one.
When Survivor first came out, I loved it. Now it's just like, this show needs to die. It was something original.
I never
original.
Got into it.
The first two seasons was something original, because you're just like, I mean, that's what we always talked about at work, like, oh, who's going to get kicked off? And, you know, it was something new. This was back in the late 90s, though. That's how long it's been going on. So
I just remember I had my one friend and her husband, like, they had driven down from New York, and they were, like, hitting different places in Florida where they were seeing family and friends, and they stopped to see me, and I think it was when the first one was on, and... You know, and they stayed with me, I think, just overnight, you know, and, oh, my God, that's all they talked about. I was just like, you know, oh, my God. And I was just, like, so glad they weren't staying with me on the night it was actually on, because I would have had to fucking watch it. I was like, good grief. But.
And talking about TV, like I said, it's been pretty slow. They are going to the Supreme Court to rule on the new FCC rulings. A lot of people are saying there's things have changed since 1978, and they need to change the regulation of what's been seen on TV, especially since you can see a lot worse things now on the internet. So they are going to be fighting this summer over the new FCC ruling. So who knows what you might be seeing coming this fall. You could be seeing more tits and assholes, for all I know, on your local TV stations. So I can't believe I
Nicole just said tits and assholes.
Yes, I did.
Oh, look, it's Penny dressed as Wonder Woman and Sheldon's dressed as Flash.
Oh, where you see that at?
I'm on my TV. I'm missing Big Bang.
Oh, Big Bang. Keep on forgetting today.
Big Bang for you people. It's a repeat. That's okay.
But see, I'm one of these people. I love watching the reruns of Big Bang.
Yeah, well, Big Bang, yes. This is a good one, too. It's a,
yeah. Oh, that's one of the funniest ones.
Mm-hmm.
New Year's Eve. Girl.
But, yeah, the FCC thing, that scares me a little bit.
It scares me, too, because I think people are just trying to push the envelope a little too much. And we've got a lot of younger viewers out there. Do you really want to try to... I mean, kids will have to go to bed earlier and earlier if their parents don't want them to be exposed to this stuff.
See, I'm more worried about... I'm not worried about that at all. I'm worried about it going the other way, that they're going to censor too much.
Oh, really?
Because ever since Janet Jackson's fucking tit, everything's gone.
Don't
censor the fuck out of everything, you know? You don't have to worry about your kids anymore. You're not going to see shit, so...
Oh, the Jacksons.
And I'm sorry, but if you have responsible parents raising a child, you know, even if a kid sees stuff, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, if they ask about it, be honest. But...
Yeah, that's what my mother did. We were allowed to watch R-rated films on HBO from a very young age. Because it was, you know, if we had a question, she'd answer it. You know what I mean? It was like, the mere fact that it wasn't a big deal made it not a big deal. Does that make any sense?
No, it makes sense. For sure.
So, yeah, but anyway, apparently, according to today's standards, everything our parents did to raise us did was wrong. So.
Everything that people that I know that are parents, apparently they're doing it wrong too. So it doesn't matter.
It's
parents are always going to be in the wrong.
So sad.
So we'll see what comes about on this summer's ruling. Like I said, that is it for TV news.
Nothing. Music? Got musica?
Music isn't that much better either. one of the funniest things that ever happened in music news happened on the BET Awards. That happened a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if you saw this online or something. They decided to have, you know, some fans introduce the fan favorite award. Well, the three fans got up there and they announced the winner. They announced the winner as Rihanna, and then they took it back and they're like, no, it's Chris Brown. And then they actually had someone else come on stage and say, no, it was Drake. So Drake came up and accepted the speech. And then they actually clarified later that Chris Brown, in fact, won it. So everyone's a winner at the BET Awards for the fan favorite. It was one of the funniest moments. It's one of those awkward things you're just like, oh, but it was funny at the same time. So everyone's a winner at BET Awards. And in... only last piece of news that I have is Michael Jackson's iconic Thriller jacket had sold at auction for $1.8 million. Wow. Now everyone's seen this jacket. So would you spend that much money on a jacket that Michael Jackson wore?
Jesus. Do you really have to ask?
Well, they were thinking that was only going to bring in about $400,000, but it ended up $1.8 million.
What did Marilyn Monroe's dress sell for recently? Was it more or less? I remember.
The white one?
Yeah.
Crap, I remember hearing about that.
I can't remember, but yeah, it's just...
These are people that have nothing better to do with their money.
It's like a Zeppelin shirt that sold for...
I wish... The thing is... I'm so sick of hearing about the Jacksons. I'm sorry. LaToya has been on everything lately, and I can't stand her face. And it's just like, don't give
her face and Michael's and Janet's are all interchangeable.
Yeah, it's just it's like Blitzwing, you just turn the knob.
Ooh. By the way, if anybody wants to send me an animated Blitzwing, DM me, and I'll give you my address. Just so you know.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm gonna start doing that. I'll start asking for toys. I don't give a shit. I have no money. I have no shame. If you want to send me animated stuff, Starscream and Prowl are at the top of the list. Also want Lugnut, Blitzwing. Was it Bulkhead? Did they do Bulkhead?
Yeah,
Bulkhead was out of scale. Was he out of scale?
No,
I remember
they had the big leader class. The leader. The big one of Bulkhead. So animated is awesome. It's my favorite toy line, too. So.
Any animated that you've heard, those are the top ones.
Which we'll talk later about in their spotlight. So, yeah. So that is it for my music news.
I only have one thing in mind, because it's just really fuck all to tell. But this one I thought was cool. It was just Iron Maiden's official channel, IMTV, which I think is awesome. I didn't even know they had a channel. But they followed the band as they wrapped up the Round the World leg of the Final Frontier Tour, with shows in Puerto Rico and Florida. And there's a clip. It's like 8 minutes. It's really cool. And it does feature some footage from the Tampa show that I went to. Says Maiden recently landed at the number 2 position on Billboard.com's Hot Tours rankings, with more than $10.5 million in box office grosses reported from the tour legs in both South America and Europe. This is a band that's been around for like decades, people. This is how you do it. Mm-hmm. The band played 2 concerts in Brazil and a stadium event in Argentina and Buenos Aires, and they also played Estadio Nacional in Santiago, Chile, and it's the largest stadium in the country.
Oh, wow.
And South American fans are renowned for – the metal fans are just some of the best metal fans. Those are supposed to be some of the – a lot of bands, that's like one of their favorite places to play is like Brazil and Chile and places like that. The band drew a crowd of 12,817 at Berlin's 17,000-seat arena, O2 World, and that's the top attendance reported from 6 German arenas on the most recent leg of the tour, so they're not doing too badly. The April 8th and April 10th concerts that they did in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and Chile they were professionally filmed and recorded for a future DVD release, which was of particular interest to me because this was the tour where I finally got to see them live. Mm-hmm. So now I know there's going to be a DVD that I can pick up. Now, granted, it won't be the shows I saw, but it'll be the same tour. So that will be kind of my own little, because God knows I couldn't afford like a $50 or $60 t-shirt or a $40 program. I remember when those were like $15, $20.
I remember when t-shirts were 15 bucks.
Yeah, and I used to buy a program for every fucking tour.
Me too. See, when I went to Paul McCartney, I'm like, I'm going to come out with a t-shirt. I'm like, $40?
Mm-hmm.
I know. I love you, Paul, but I can't do that.
Fit over your boobs. Don't tend to make them for the bigger gal. Like me.
I know. It's just like...
So they are going to release a DVD at some point of this tour, which is very, very cool. And they won a Grammy this year, and they're having a great year, to say the least. So I'm very excited about this. And the clip is cool. It's a lot of fun following them. Shows them in Puerto Rico and then in West Palm, Florida, which is south of here, and then in Tampa. And West Palm, the interesting thing is that drummer Nico McBrain has lived there for years, and he actually co-owns a barbecue joint there, a restaurant. And so they played, you'll see footage if you watch the clip of them playing in the freaking parking lot at this place, which, oh, I'm so jealous of the ribs there. Awesome. My friend Wes is actually a DJ down in Miami, and he's gotten to hang out with Nico before.
Oh,
and
cool.
He was on Facebook at the same time he was hanging out with Nico, and I was like, and I think it was right around, it was at Christmas time, that's right. Not this past Christmas, but the year before. And I was just like, dude, I told Wes on Facebook, I was like, dude, tell him I said Merry Christmas. He says, Merry Christmas back. And I was like, yay, I got Merry Christmas from Nico from
Oh
Iron
my
Man.
Gosh. Did you copy and paste it? Did you save it and everything? Or
I didn't, but it's,
oh, man.
I don't It happened, so it's all good. But yeah, that was kind of cool. So there's some Maiden goodness, and there's DVD goodness to look forward to. So, but that was the only thing I really had in the music.
Yeah, the music news is pretty. I think they're all out on, you know, they're either out touring or they're just out on vacation. A lot of musicians, so they're doing like summer tours. So a whole lot of isn't really going on production wise. So. But our last bit of news, this might be sad for some people. MySpace has sold for basically nothing as layoffs begin. Yeah, remember MySpace? Back in the day, MySpace.
I have been meaning to delete my account for.
I know, I can't remember the last time I logged in. But it's sad what's going on over there. Unfortunately, 500 people will lose their job as of right now, and it only sold for $35 million to specific media. $35 million might sound a lot, but News Corp paid $580 million for it back in 2005.
Wow.
So that just shows you.
Well, and you know what? The guy, what's his name, Zuckerberg or whatever, that owns Facebook?
Uh-huh.
That fucker should be shitting himself right now. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
He needs to learn from that, because in my book, Facebook is going that way.
Yeah.
I remember when Facebook came along, I was just like, oh my God, MySpace. Yes. Well, how did I ever think MySpace was the shit?
Yeah.
And Everyone did. Yeah, and like now, I'm like, I have been over Facebook for actually some time now. It's just the fact that it's my only connection to certain friends is the only reason I still have it. I'm far more active on Twitter and Skype than I am on Facebook. So,
yeah, I just feel sad that, you know, here's some more people.
Oh, those job. People. Yeah, trust me.
Trust me, job hunting's not fun, and it's not easy these days.
We know all too well.
Yeah.
You know, seriousness, I requested information to become a fucking Avon lady. I'm not even kidding.
Really? I do like Avon stuff, though.
I love their stuff, and I was just thinking, you know what? What the hell? If it doesn't take much to become an Avon lady, and I could sell some stuff and make some extra money, I'm going to do it.
Let me tell you, Avon has the best lipstick. I know this is so sounds so girly, but they discontinued it like a year ago, and I was so sad. I'm like, they discontinued my favorite lipstick, but then they reformulated it, and they brought it back like 2 months ago.
Oh, cool. Well, I'll be able to hook soon.
see, guys don't understand when a makeup line or a facial line
perfume.
Doesn't, yeah, they discontinue something. It is heartbreaking to us girls. You know,
it's funny. There was one that was, I used to always have Bath and Body Works lotion in the house, and it's just, that is such a luxury these days. I can't even go near that, but there was a particular scent of that, and I can't remember for the life of me what the scent was, but it was my girlfriend Katie's favorite, and I remember her calling me one day, this was years ago, she goes, they're not making that scent anymore. I was like, get out, really? And she goes, she was in Bath and Body Works, it was her favorite. She goes, she asked him, she's like, how many do you have in the store right now? And she literally bought every bottle they had in the store at that moment, and I think it was like a case or something.
Yep, I did
She's
that
like,
with.
I've got this shit. It's gonna last me a while.
Yeah, I did that with my favorite facial stuff, and I'm like down to my last box, and it's just like, okay, how sparingly do I use these?
Is it like a facial mask or what?
No, it's like a little scrubber. It like exfoliates your skin. It like pretty much takes the first layer of your skin off. I think that's pretty much why they took it off the market.
What is it though? What's
it's
it
Neutrogena age defying micro scrubber.
Hmm.
I love it. Listen to us get girly.
Hey, if I become an Avon lady, I'll be as girly as I have to be.
Oh,
I need
go money. For it, girl.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be fun.
Let's start with makeup again. Hell yeah.
Avon has some good stuff. They have some good stuff for men, too. So don't think we're excluding these guys out.
Trust me, I'm already like thinking, oh, I know my gays will buy some of this stuff.
Well, that is it for our news, so.
You're my sunshine.